Hey, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us. Welcome everyone to our very special Australia series, where we are going to visit every state and territory of the land down under over 8 weeks. And today is our first episode. Welcome, Darius.
Hello. Thank you, Emma. And welcome everyone to the Australia series.
Australia.
Are we going clockwise around the states, or are we just going to see how it goes?
We're just going to go. I mean, it will be dependent on when we can get our guests and when we can coordinate our recordings, full disclosure. Yep. So today we are visiting Western Australia because our wonderful guest, Amanda Kendall, was so prompt and jumped on and did the recording with us. So
she's good at that. She's very prompt.
She is very prompt. She runs her own podcast, the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. So she understands that, and plus she and I love to talk, so it is never a problem trying to arrange for us to get on the phone together.
Did you guys know if WA was a country, it would be in the world's top 10 for size?
I didn't know that specifically, but I can totally understand why, because it is massive. It is over a third, I think. I'm pretty sure Amanda tells us as well, over a third or at least a third of our country is WA. It's almost half.
Probably.
It's huge.
It's also home to the longest stretch of straight railway in the world. Straight railway.
That's a good fact, because she gives us a different one. So there you go.
What do you mean?
She gives us a fact. I always ask for a fact from our guests. So.
What do you mean she gives a different one? Like a different, it's not the longest straight railway in the world?
Another fact that is not that fact. That your fact stands. She has a different fact.
Okay.
I don't want to give it away. You've got to listen. They've got to listen.
Okay.
If we give it away in the intro, there's no need to listen. So anyway, tell me, Darius, anyway, have you been to Western Australia?
I have to two of the Western Australia cities. I've been to Perth. I didn't spend much time there. It was a work-related trip. But got a bit of an impression. It was pretty nice. And I've also been to Broome, which is also a bit of a crazy place.
And they're very far from one another. You were in the very south and very north, really.
Perth is the most isolated city in the world.
I can imagine, yes.
The closest city is Adelaide, and that's 2,200 kilometres away.
As in capital city or city, full stop.
Well, probably like the city. When is the city a city? I don't know. Look, I don't make the facts.
Well, yeah, I don't know if we call Broome a city. Like, a lot of places in WA probably wouldn't meet the city classification.
I don't know. Broome is, it's a town, maybe. I don't think it's a city.
Yeah. And what did you do in Broome?
I went and saw my friend Adam, who lived there for a while.
Was he on a Jack Daniels thing with you?
He was on the Jack Daniels thing. We can throw a link to that in the show notes.
That was pretty cool.
It was very cool. Jack Daniels flew me to Australia for like 3 days or something.
From Germany. And then you and I bumped into each other at the airport on the way when you were leaving.
Yeah. That was wild. But yeah, we'll throw that in the thing. In Broome, what do we do? Like, went to... Just the scenery is amazing, and having a local there to show you around a little bit is also very cool.
It's very sparse, the scenery, isn't it? It's very just nature. There's not it's, much built-up stuff.
Oh, there's not much built-up at all. It's nothing. And, like, if it rains too much, you can't leave. And crocodiles, like, roam the streets at night. And
he's not making that up. Wild. This is legit stuff. This is just Australia, if you're listening internationally. So welcome.
And just flying, even flying into Broome, the colours are amazing. Like, you have, like, the blues from the ocean and the reds from the soil. And it's pretty crazy.
Did you get to do any of the pearl stuff up there? Go and see the pearl farms? So they're quite famous for pearl farms. My in-laws just got back from a trip from the Northern Territory across to Broome, so they did a bit of that. So I'm a bit fresh on the older Broome knowledge, even though I've never been. But, they had a wonderful time. It's the same thing, the colours and the experience. They did a boat trip from up there and went up, and they just said it was, magnificent. And it's not cheap, though, not cheap.
No,
travelling Australia. Isolation. It's not cheap, but doing, and it's kind of, you can't really rough it. You kind of need to, like, there are ways to do it on your own, but trying to get from place to place, and, you know, even if you stay in campsites and stuff, like, you have to pay. And so I think people don't, you know, if you're looking to do that part of Australia, the top end of Australia, and that top part of WA, like, you have to understand that you need time and you need money.
And water.
And water. Yes. So, we did chat to the wonderful Amanda Kendall, who was also on episode 26, and I have featured on a couple of her episodes on the Thoughtful Travel podcast. She is Perth-born and bred and lives there currently, and who better to talk to? And I've been fortunate to have been over there a couple of times myself, but for long periods. So three times I've been over, but for long chunks. So I actually had, and in talking to her, just kept being like, oh, yeah, and I went here, and yeah, and I went there. And as usual, my usual style, I didn't really look things up before. So I'd be like, you know that place that looks like this? And she'd be like, I think you're talking about this place. I was like, that's the one. I was 13. Actually, funny story. I was dating one of our good friends when I was over there. Basically, our whole relationship was while I was away.
Wow.
good memories, teenage memories.
But we're a travel podcast and not a whatever sort of podcast that would be.
It's memories. But it was like, it was so funny. And I very much,
is memory.
A distinctive memory was also the music I was listening to, which we also just mentioned off air, which was Eminem, Marshall Mathers LP and the Slim Shady LP were my soundtracks of that trip. And one of the other trips was Blink-182. They were big at the time. And so I had my Discman and I had those CDs on loop.
Shout out to Eminem and Blink-182.
That's very much
if you want to be on the show, hit us up.
2001 sort of era.
2001, A Perth Odyssey.
So just a little bit more about Amanda Kendall. As I said, please go and listen to her. Well, you can find her at the Thoughtful Travel podcast. She's a podcaster and blogger, and she's obsessed with the benefits of traveling can give us and the world. So she's run the Thoughtful Travel podcast since 2016. She has over 200 episodes, or more than 200 episodes, I should say, and she has published a travel blog, Not a Ballerina, since 2005. 16 years. It's incredible. So, head on over. We'll put the links in the show notes to her, but you can also find her, Amanda Kendall, on Instagram and Twitter, and Not a Ballerina on Facebook and website. And then her Thoughtful Travel community is brilliant on Facebook. I'm a fan. I'm in there. But should we jump on out and hear what about Amanda's WA experiences?
Yeah, I can't wait. Let's get into it. And stay tuned for the Australia series, everyone. It's going to be great.
Woo-hoo. So welcome back to the podcast, Amanda Kendall.
Thank you. It's exciting to be back.
Yeah. So we had the pleasure of having you on our episode number 26. We talked about your Thoughtful Travel podcast, and of course on that we learned that you live in Western Australia. So you were the obvious choice to talk to for our state series on WA.
Well, I have been here nearly all my life and I do love WA. It's got its downsides, but it's a pretty awesome place to live and I think it's a beautiful place to visit. So exciting to chat about it.
It's enormous. Like, it is so much bigger as a state of our country. And, I mean, it's, you know, easily the largest state. Okay, that's
yeah, it takes up a third of Australia. Like, yeah. It's massive. Yeah. But we have, I don't know, tiny percentage of the population's like 2.6 million here or something now. So, yeah.
You'd be almost the size of Europe because Europe can fit into Australia twice. So,
yeah, I think like if you think of like the Western Europe, we're about the same as Western Europe. So if we, when we used to talk about Western Europe, that was, yeah, that's pretty much the size of WA. So yeah. I think it's like four times the size of Texas and everyone always thinks Texas is huge, but I think we can fit Texas in four times. So yeah.
But with like, you know, sort of tiny percentage of the population.
Absolutely tiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because yeah, you're really. It's a very, very big empty state.
Yes. I mean, Australia is a very big empty country predominantly. Yeah. But
we take that to the extreme.
Yeah, we're very, you know, the East Coast heavy, and then obviously you guys are very South heavy.
Yeah.
A little tiny point on the bottom, not a point, but.
But the region, the Southwest tiny corner, really. I looked it up recently and it's like 90% of WA's population is in that tiny corner. So, and then the rest is this vast, vast area with nobody for, you know, sometimes thousands of kilometres. So it's crazy. So
it's probably a good time. And look, the reason we're doing this series is because, you know, of course, at some point being from Australia myself, we were going to touch on the States, but being that we are in a time where we're not exploring the world as much, Australians are exploring our own country. But even further than that, we're sometimes locked into our own state. Mm-hmm. And so we're exploring very much our own backyard, our state. And so you guys have the biggest playground. And, I mean, right now we're in, it's July 2021. So currently you aren't in a lockdown, but your borders are closed off to the rest of us.
To most of us. Yeah, to most of you, yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Our premier likes to close the borders as soon as there's basically any COVID out there. So we are in lockdown. And I was just had lunch with a friend today who's just come back from a trip up north to Broome, and we had this exact discussion because of COVID. A lot of Western Australians are travelling to parts of WA that, like, it's pretty expensive because it's far and it's, you know, it's expensive because, you know, of the lack of infrastructure and stuff. But she said, you know, normally we would have gone to Asia or Europe or America at least once in this sort of 18 months, and we haven't. So we went up north and spent all our money up there instead. So, yeah, it's kind of a cool way to, you know, to really see awesome stuff in Australia. We're almost forced to because there's nothing else we can do. So, you know, it's not a bad outcome.
No, and it's the sort of place that people who are coming here for the first time and maybe their only time would go, and yet us people who live here all the time. But as you said, my in-laws, I said before, they've just done a trip in the top of Australia, Northern Territory, and they came across into Western Australia and went to Broome, and they did a boat trip from up there as well and absolutely loved it. But, yes, I think their credit card took a beating,
yeah.
So, and they always knew that. They knew that that was going to be that sort of trip. And I think that's why as well people maybe leave it. Often it's more of a retiree's sort of later in life, probably have done a lot of other things and they go.
And also Western Australia takes a lot of time because of the huge distances. So it's not something you can do in a few days. You know, if you've got a bit longer, then it's a better destination. So, yeah.
Yes. And I think, well, I mean, people have jobs and things, but when, yeah, we're not, again, spending our time elsewhere, people are taking the time to go to places where, you know, and the same for me, you know, I've been to places for 4 or 5 days. But when I was younger, I'm pretty young, but when I was a teenager, when I was a teenager with my parents, we came over to WA and spent a month twice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 4 weeks each time. Christmas holidays. So in Australia we get, you know, the six, 7 weeks.
And yeah, really got to see quite a lot of that southwest area and went up as high as Monkey Maya.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate that, you know, I was quite young, but, you know, definitely old enough to remember a lot of it and to appreciate it. And, yeah, just doing the road tripping type thing and getting to stay in some really unique sort of places, and there's still a hell of a lot more to see. But I only got back 2 years ago. And it was really nice to revisit, and I have a trip planned for November, so fingers crossed I'll be doing a follow-up episode.
Yeah, you've seen it again with your own eyes.
Yeah, it's really one of the things that's such a highlight for us East Coasters is watching the sunset over there. The sunsets, I was at Scarborough and watched the sunset while I was there in 2019 I was there last. It was just such a treat.
To watch it sink into the ocean.
Yes.
Well, I mean, likewise, when I go to the East Coast, I get up early to watch the sunrise over the water. So,
and you know, like you have to go really far to do that. To cross.
Yeah.
And the flight is crazy. Like I do big flights, you know, traveling to Europe, going to very distant places, but I cannot believe how long it felt going from Brisbane to Perth. It's a 5.5-hour flight, but it felt so long. And I think it's just because it's that mind messing with your mind that you're like, I'm still in Australia.
Yeah. It's crazy. Perth is crazy far from everywhere. You know, it's often touted as the world's most isolated city. And, you know, it absolutely is. It's actually closer to fly to Bali than to the next Australian capital, which is Adelaide. So it's a really weirdly positioned place.
Yeah, that is so bizarre. And obviously, well, not obviously, but WA's had, I guess you've had a change maybe in the last 10 years or so with the mining industry, like.
Yeah, so about 15 years ago, a really massive mining boom came through and the state's always been relatively wealthy because basically we just dig up stuff, dig up valuable things. You know, I don't know if the best way to run an economy, but it's been working fairly well over the decades. But we had a huge mining boom. It was actually mostly while I was living abroad. And, you know, prices skyrocketed. People were coming from everywhere to come and work in our mines. And, it's cooled down a lot now, but we still have, a huge mining industry. But, it certainly drew attention to the state. And we have, you know, a huge proportion of FIFO workers, so fly-in, fly-out workers who work on mine sites, some from other parts of Australia, but it's become a bit problematic with border closures in the last 18 months. But certainly in Perth, you always know lots and lots of people who either do or know someone who works, or, you know, lives with someone who works on the mines, fly in, fly out on various rosters. So, yeah, it's a real part of the culture here for sure. Because the mines are very far away, you know 500 to 1,000 or 1,500 kilometres away. So you have to go up there, you know, fly up for a week or two or a month and then fly back down for the break and back and forth. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it really drove up your, like, even restaurants and things like that, wasn't it? Like just.
Yeah, because they couldn't get any labour, so it was impossible to get enough staff to run things because everyone who wanted to, you know, earn some bigger dollars would go up and work on the mines. So, yeah, and housing prices, everything went, really went up. And it's never really come back down. It's kind of, you know, it probably could have, but no one, real estate corrected a bit, but like restaurants, I still find really expensive compared to lots of other parts of Australia. So,
yeah.
And like, the only good thing is when I go to like Scandinavia, where it's supposed to be really expensive, it's about the same. So I don't even notice.
Yeah, and it is just.
So, yeah, if you're coming to Western Australia, don't budget or allow in your budget that if you're going to eat out a lot, it's not going to be super cheap. So.
Yes, and it's not that, like, there are some wonderful places to eat and drink, but some of the, you know, the prices don't really reflect, you know, they're not always the bestest. They're a pretty standard restaurant,
but yeah, even a standard meal is still expensive. Yeah,
dollars for a main, that's like the mid-March. So, but I do have a few questions for you. So I'd love to hear about some famous places in WA, the places that people would probably have heard of, but maybe some others that are, you know, state famous that we don't know of.
So, yeah, it's interesting to think about. Like, I don't know for sure what other people have heard of, but let me tell you what I think they've heard of and what, okay, what is usually in the brochures. So if we start within Perth itself, people tend to know about Kings Park, which is, you know, a massive bushland and park area right above the city. So it's huge. It's considerably bigger than the New York Central Park. I know we always say that. And it's a beautiful spot and you get the best views over the city centre. So the city centre of Perth's changed a lot in the last decade or two. Got a lot more waterfront building now, because so the city sits on the Swan River. And before, the city itself was kind of a couple of blocks back from that, and we didn't really take advantage of this beautiful kind of riverfront. But we've got, you know, new hotels and new, you know, other areas down there. Elizabeth Quay is new, and restaurants and stuff. So now we take much, you know, we have a lot more engagement on that kind of beautiful riverfront. So that's really nice.
Is the new stadium there too, the new cricket ground?
Yeah. So there's actually, I just drove past it this afternoon, Optus Stadium it is. So that's out a little bit further east of the city towards where the Crown Casino, formerly Burswood area, is. And, yeah, it's actually a really beautiful stadium. I drove past it today and I was just thinking, oh, you know, that is a lovely place. So, yeah, so it's, you know, there's all sorts of pockets of the inner city. Fremantle is where people often go. So often on maps, and, you know, we always find it weird, but on a map of Australia or a map of the world, you'll see Perth and you'll see Fremantle just south of it as a separate city. And I think the people of Fremantle actually are quite proud and think that that is exactly how it should be. But it's just a suburb of Perth. I mean, it's like putting my suburb on a map, yeah, you know, on a world map. To us, it seems crazy. So, but it often gets represented that way. But that's the port part of Perth, and it's kind of really quirky and got lots of colonial history. And Fremantle Prison is one of my favourite sightseeing spots to send people. There's lots of really cool. It was used as a jail until like the 80s or even nearly the 90s, I think. Certainly when I was a kid, it was a real jail, but
yeah,
it was, you know, built by convicts. It's a, you know, really beautiful old stone building. They have amazing tours. They have just the regular, even the regular kind of cells tour is amazing, and they have a candlelight tour, which is a bit scary.
Oh, yeah.
And there's actually tunnels under the prison. And you can go on a tunnels tour and you go on these little boats through. I mean, it's a really, really well-run tourist attraction. It often wins awards and stuff, but, like, with really good reason. It's really awesome. It's just, you know, really cleverly done and really fascinating. So, yeah, so that's there.
You've got the market there too, which I remember.
Oh, yeah, that's true. In Fremantle, the Fremantle markets are great. Because, yeah, Fremantle's got a lot of that, you know, the more creative and artistic and kind of quote-unquote hippie people tend to live down that way. And, yeah, it's colourful and interesting. And there's the Maritime Museum is there and shipwreck galleries. Lots of stuff. It's a great place to hang out. So actually there's a youth hostel in the prison, so you can sleep there. So,
yeah, no,
YHA.
I did stay in a prison. I might always forget, but it was in Helsinki. And yeah, they do a good job of, you know, zhuzhing them up, but, you know, you just try to keep the creepiness out of it.
Yes, it doesn't pay to think too hard about it, I think. Yeah. You're quite right. Now the other I think famous part nearby is Rottnest Island. So people might not necessarily know that its name, but you've probably seen pictures of quokkas. So the smiling little animals called quokkas. So they're big rats. They're not big rats, but that's how Rottnest got its name, because the original Dutch people who landed there thought they were rats, and it became Rat's Nest, which became Rottnest. But they're the smiley animals. But Rottnest itself is just an island. Depending on where you come, it's like less than an hour's boat ferry from Perth, and there's no cars there. It's a real beachside place. It's just super relaxing, you know, really chilled out place. And actually, at the beginning of COVID, it was used for quarantine for people returning. You know, like at the very beginning, when people were returning from, like, Perth people were returning from holidays and stuff from overseas. And I thought, that is an awesome place to quarantine. Like, it must have been one of the most scenic places in the world to quarantine. So, yeah, but it was kind of easy to kind of keep them all on the island. So, Yeah.
It's stunning, and it's like you can go snorkeling, and it's just such a great little day trip. And now there's another island off Perth that we went to. We're very fortunate. We had some friends with a boat, and so they took us over. The one with the seals, or is that Rottnest?
Ah, no, you might be thinking of, gosh, is it where the penguins are? Were there penguins too? Or seals? Oh, Green Island? I'm not sure, actually.
They lay on the beach, and, like, I have a photo of me that I'll have to – I've taken a photo of the photo recently, and it's me lying on the beach probably dangerously, only a couple of metres away from a seal, emulating the seal. I think he moved soon after, and I moved very quickly. But I had a very beautiful memory of snorkelling there, and the seal – the guy I was snorkeling with was like, like, what are you doing? And then, you know, sort of, oh, okay, I'll turn my head, and there's this seal doing like a backflip just next to me, and the fur was sort of shimmering in the water, and
that's amazing.
You know, it's just very, very beautiful. So yeah, very fortunate to do that. I like, in my head it's Kangaroo Island, but that is wrong, because that's South Australia. But as I said, as I'm saying off air, I was like, I can tell you all about it. I can tell you this beautiful memory. Cannot tell you where it is, so good luck. I hope you go there. It's great.
I just have to go back to Rottnest Island and say, don't go on a day trip. Stay overnight at least. Like, okay. It's so much, a lot that, you know, especially during, you know, regular tourism times, the number of day trippers there is massive. And once the last ferry of the day leaves about 4 o'clock or 4:30, it's just the best place to be. But it's a bit hectic sometimes with day trippers. So I always say to people, you've got to stay overnight or several nights or whatever. So it's the kind of place that.
Now, general tourist activity now, without, like, because they had the quarantine, you said, is it back to normal?
Yes. So now it's just tourism again. In fact, a friend of mine's there at the moment, and she just posted pictures today because we've had really stormy weather, and they actually cancelled the ferries, which is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. And so she actually showed posted all these photos, and it looks completely empty. And I was like, oh, that looks like the best version of Rottnest ever. So without all these people everywhere. So
is it all mine? Yeah, great tip. That's a great tip. Mm. Now. So tell me, we've talked about a few famous places, but what are some of your favourite places?
Oh, well, I have quite a few, but Rottnest being one of them. And so I guess within Western Australia, the most common next place to go is what we call down south, mm-hmm. which is, you know, anywhere south and southwest of Perth. The Margaret River region is the famous part, or if you at Dunsborough, Busselton, around that way, or you keep going a little bit and you get to Walpole. In Walpole, this is one of my favourite parts. We have a treetop walk, so through some of the old Carey Forest and stuff. So, you know, beautiful, enormous, old trees, and we have, you know, one of those, like, with cantilevered bridges going around the top of the treetops. Just beautiful.
And is there one with a stick you can, like, go in one?
There's down there, there's a couple of, like, tingle trees where you can go inside at the base of them because they're massive and hollowed out. And not far from there in Pemberton, there's a couple of trees which were like fireman's watch kind of trees, and so they have ladders up them. There's the Gloucester tree is the most famous one, and so people can still climb up that. I'm always amazed that it still exists.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you've heard of them. But it's always amazing to me because, like, from a health and safety perspective, it seems like climbing the Gloucester tree is, you know, it shouldn't be allowed. But it's great that it still exists, I think. I'm not a fan of those kind of height things because I freak out. So I've only ever been up part way. But, yeah, some people go all the way to the top. It's super tall. And you get a beautiful view over the forest. And, yeah, it's amazing. So, so there's lots of those kinds of things. And I was thinking about, like, where was my favourite ever experience in WA. It was actually north, so we go down south or we go up north. There's a lot of up north, but it's very far. So, you know, people tend to do the down south much more frequently. But up north, I've only flown up there. It's kind of an hour and a half flight, but, you know, a good day's drive, 10 or 12 hours drive, to the Ningaloo Reef area, so around Exmouth and Coral Bay. And there's lots of, you know, it's a lot of, you know, nature and wildlife kind of stuff. You can humpback whales, swim with whale sharks at the right time of year, all of that kind of stuff. And when I was up there, on a blogging trip quite a few years back, I got to fly in a Microlite. So, you know, it's like a hang glider with an engine. It's like a flying motorcycle, I suppose. I was terrified, but the views over the Ningaloo Reef and the national park there, absolutely insane. It was just beautiful. So the locals like to say that the Ningaloo Reef is vastly superior to, no offense, the Great Barrier Reef. I don't know, but there's nobody looking at it, basically, compared to the Great Barrier Reef, where lots of people looking. So there's that, at least. You know, it's never crowded around Ningaloo Reef, although this year a little bit more so. Lots of locals going up that way. But,
really popular one. I didn't realise it was that close to Perth. I mean, it's not, you know, in Australian terms, that's close. But I thought it was, I had always pictured it was more like up near Broome sort of way.
No. I mean, you've got me wondering now if I've got my driving time right, because I know it's that bit that's too far for me to drive on my own. But yeah. No, it's nowhere near. It's definitely only kind of halfway up the coast. Okay. So. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
So 13 hours. So I was sort of right.
But, you know, in Australia, like, honestly, you know, for us, it's, my husband's always like 10, it's 9 hours, it's 10 hours. I'm like, no, it's a 12-hour trip to Sydney. It's 1,000 kilometres. It's because you have to stop the car. Yes, I'm sure if you went straight.
Yes, with no interruptions, yeah.
But you cannot physically do that. So, yes, you must stop. Okay, that's really cool. Yeah, so you mentioned Exmouth. That's up there too.
Exmouth. Yes. Yeah, so there's two towns. Exmouth is the bigger town. It was a US base for some time until relatively recently in history. And Coral Bay is the kind of the beachside town a little bit further south. And that area is a very popular place at this time of year because it's considerably warmer than Perth. So it used to be all the grey nomads would head up there at this time. But now, lots and lots of people, like a lot of my friends have been up that way in the past, month or so, especially over the winter school holidays and stuff. So because they would usually go to Bali to get warm,
yes,
but they can't. So this season, it's been a lot around that Exmouth, Coral Bay, that kind
and
of
it region, does get so. Chilly because you are down quite far and, yeah, it can get really, I mean, even I was there, maybe I was there around winter time, and the day is lovely, but the night gets really chilly. And I loved actually like smelling, like a lot of places had fires, wood fires, so the night was very cozy. But yeah, it was chilly. So
it can get cool here, and worse is that we don't really believe it can get cool, and so our houses are not built for that weather. Our houses are built for summer, and so it does get quite cold. Like I'm sitting here with a scarf, several layers, a blanket on my lap. You know, it's yeah. And we've had the worst weather this last 4 or 5 weeks. We've had nearly nonstop rain. So it's been, That's winter is not my favourite time in Perth.
I'm picking that up. I'll share a couple of my highlights. You know, now you've mentioned that. It's funny, as I said to you before, I remember I've got like really vivid memories, but I think because I was a teenager, I didn't take so much note. Like I wasn't doing any of the, obviously, the driving.
And you didn't know you'd become a travel podcaster either, did you?
I didn't know that. So, I mean, I could probably ask. I'm, you know, still in touch with the family that we traveled with who are incredible travelers. And actually shout out David Stevens. He's in our Facebook group. And, mum and dad obviously took me, so I could probably ask them. But I do sometimes ask them. But we did a lot. So
When you had a month twice, that's a lot of time to spend exploring WA. So that's awesome.
And it was great to have some time in Perth and to enjoy, like, it was over Christmas, New Year time. So that's a lovely time to be there and just hanging out at a friend's house, in a different house, in their pool and enjoying that very lovely summer weather. And so that's a nice treat. But for me, Monkey Maya, which I sort of mentioned before, so you can see dolphins there. We went on a big catamaran, which we saw a baby dolphin. The dolphins come up to the shore for feeding and one decided to swim directly at me and landed at my feet. And so there were all these hundreds of people on the shore and this dolphin just rolled over and just lying in, looking up at me. It was really you know, there's an animal encounter special moment. So
yeah, that's beautiful. And they've also been really careful there. They've really, you know, as the years have gone by and they've learned more about the best ways to interact and stuff, they've really limited their interaction. So it's still good for humans, but they've made sure that the dolphins aren't reliant on it and stuff. So
yeah.
They used to like feed them a lot and stuff, but they've really scaled that back. So it to be a kind of a really good balance of it, I think. So
yeah. And so, yeah, and then look at these natural occurrences that they do find these spots. And we've got Tangalooma up here where they visit, and it's such a nice to see a dolphin in the wild. It's really a treat. Yeah. My other real highlight was Pinnacle Desert.
Oh, yes. Oh, I didn't mention them yet. We went just again last year. It was my third or fourth trip there. It's so cool there. But I'll let you talk about it.
Oh, it's fascinating. And we went both trips. I do believe, but we saw something very rare. We saw an emu in the Pinnacle Desert, which apparently was like
In the Pinnacles.
That's
so cool.
I jumped out the car singing. I had my Walkman in and scared the emu away, but it was amazing to see this emu's, you know, because we had like sort of stormy skies and this bright yellow sand and just nothing but these sort of stone, they look like stone, but
they're limestone pillar things. Yeah, it's such an unusual, it's like a weird out of space kind of
Mad Maxy sort of
futuristic
post-apocalyptic. And you just drive around, like there's nothing to do per se, you just go and look at them and experience them. And my dad decided to emulate Billy Connolly, so he started taking a fish. Billy Connolly had his, you know, world tour of Australia, and we watched that recently. And so
I haven't seen what he does at the Pinnacles.
Oh, he likes to be naked places. And
I must go and look this up.
Yeah, so my dad started to do it, and, you know, we halted him at the T-shirt off. We're like, we get it. Dad, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, especially when you're a teenager, yeah.
A friend went recently and it reminded me, I forgot. Oh, no, well, I didn't. I remembered the photo, but it just, like, I wouldn't have been able to name what it was, but it's pretty obvious when you hear the name, but it's Nature's Window.
Mm-hmm.
So the rock formation, and I don't know where that is, though.
Kalbarri, I think. Yeah. Mm. I think that's probably the one near Kalbarri, I think. Yeah.
And it's like the Grand Canyon-y type. That's what it feels like there, that red rock. And just, yeah, again, rock formation. I think Western Australia really, you know, you need time and you're really going to understand natural landscapes.
Yes, yes.
And to appreciate different ecosystems. Like we went to a place where there were stalactites, wave rock went there, so incredible the way the water has, you know, sort of created these patterns, which makes it look like a wave on it.
Yeah, and it's enormous. It towers over you. It's, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's still allowed, but we were like walking over the top of it, and I'm sure it's...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can still walk everywhere there.
Yeah, so you climb, walk over it, it's like standing on the wave. And then the other side, I think, of the history side is that, like you said, the convict sort of and the early settlers. So you have these very like oldie worldy sort of places to visit. And I remember Albany. We went right down there.
Albany, yes, Albany? Yes. Common mispronunciation is to make it Albany, like in the US, but yeah, it's Albany. So yeah, I should have mentioned it. One of my favorite places, because I've been there at least 200 times. My grandmother lived there. My auntie and uncle still do. So yeah, and there's a lot of interesting history around that way too. So yeah,
yeah. And then one of the places that we went that my friend probably won't like me saying this, but we went to Geraldton, and I remember it being quite boring. and
I think it's improved a little bit, but not
yeah, much. It was a bit. I don't know why, but we did a very cool thing, which we got a flight out to. They have some islands, and we went on a scenic flight from there. So
that's beautiful out there.
That was super cool. And I don't know why, because it's quite dry and grassy, and it's kind of farmy land. I don't think of it as being near the water, but it was, because we took a flight over the water.
Yeah, it's on the coast. Yeah.
The whaling station there, or whaling museum.
Yep.
That's the whaling museum well.
In Albany. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So I'm probably again confusing places, but yeah. So there, yes.
Yes.
That's
yes.
My
And I did just want to say, when we talk about the historical things, we these days now have way more Indigenous tours and Indigenous kind of tourism attractions to get to. And I have to put a plug in for my favourite one in Perth, which is a guy called Walter Maguire who runs Go Cultural Tours. Like, I've done some Perth tours with him where you're in the middle of, like, the foreshore at Elizabeth Quay with all the modern stuff around you, and he does a smoking ceremony and he explains, you know, what parts of this very centre of Perth were, why were they important for different reasons, for different ceremonies and stuff before we came along and built all our buildings in the way. But really, really interesting. So
I will definitely put that in the show notes. And I think that is something that we mentioned in our first Australian episode, and it was like that. It's just such a different mindset to when you're travelling in Europe or places that do have a more structural history. Like, we think of history as buildings, but Australia, the land and the people, we have, you know, one of the oldest cultures in the world. So there's a lot of history in the land, and you do get to see that when you go. So you're looking at the natural landscape and you are getting to hear the stories, but it's lovely that to have, you know, a focus. So if you can go on a tour that is specifically learning about the Indigenous history, and as you say, in a place where it might not be so obvious, because
straight away, exactly, and you know, because it's made up of so many different lands of, you know, across Western Australia, so it's different everywhere, different stories, different backgrounds. It's and there's more and more interesting tourism products that reflect that. So
in a famous place for a well-known place, and I think from my, I used to do some work with World Vision, is sort of for, which still has a big Indigenous population, would be the Pilbara. And so
the Pilbara and the Kimberleys, absolutely. So all the very far north, the northern top or the northern third of Western Australia.
And that's where you're really picking out, like, cool red desert, just proper sort of
amazing
that side of Australia.
Real outback.
Yes. So if you want to go super raw, and I'm gutted, my friend was living there and I missed the opportunity actually again in 2019. This was like one of those times where I'd been traveling quite a bit and was like, oh, I really should probably stay at home. But a friend went over there, and another friend was living there, and he was living there, and he's now in Karratha. So I really loved
it. Oh, Karratha's beautiful.
But they're having the wedding in Margaret River, which we already mentioned.
So. Oh, that's the wedding. Ah, yes, right. Oh, what a shame they're not having it at Karratha, because it's great up there, and you're right on the doorstep of the Karajini National Park, and lots of cool stuff to do up there. So,
Just trying to make it another trip. That's all. So, I just want to ask you a little. So you said before you've lived there pretty much all your life. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, your history in WA.
Yeah, well, so I was born in Perth, but both my parents came from the country. My dad lived all, you know, quite around, like somewhere, sometimes in the eastern, like east-ish of Perth and in the southwest. And my mum, as I said, grew up in the Great Southern, so down on a farm about an hour north of Albany. And so my grandparents lived there on a farm until I was, you know, a teenager or so. So we had lots of family holidays down on the farm in the Great Southern. So that's, to me, what WA is all about, is that, you know, the agricultural land and stuff. But I've always been a city girl, really. I do love being out in nature, but, you know, I've born and bred in the city. So that really is my kind of way. And in Perth, you're very clearly one of two kinds of people. You're either a north of the river person or a south of the river person. And I, apart from a small blip for maybe a year or so when I was 20 and I lived like just on the river south, like just south, because I had a boyfriend from south of the river, but, you know, it was never going to last because, you know, wrong side of the tracks. So, so I'm a north of the river person. And that is just the way it is. It always is that way. So both of them are really exactly the same, just a reflection of each, a mirror image of each other. You know, the rich people are living right close to the city, and as we get further away, like me, we're more middle class, and then it's a very long stretched out city because everyone wants to live near the coast, basically.
Apart from
a few in the hills.
It's funny coming in, like when you fly into the airport, and then it's sort of like like grassy land, there's a bit of bush, and then all of a sudden you're at the beach, and then like a bit further and then you're in the city. Like it's just, it's a very interesting sort of progress, and it, you do get that remote, like as soon as you get to the airport and you're driving through, and it was my first time driving. I'd been driven around before, so it was very like, oh yeah, we're remote, right,
yeah,
we're far away. And then all of a sudden, oh, we're just here.
Yeah,
it's an interesting layout, I guess. And like you're saying, it's because people
close,
so there's parts that are still very bushy or very grasslandy. I was sort of getting a vibe of
absolutely,
yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, it's a funny place, Perth.
But I have I learned saying not city girl. I'm definitely, yeah, I'm a city girl, sorry, not a country girl as well, because we stayed somewhere down in, I guess it was that southern, would you say the southern, where you're
southwest or the Great Southern, or oh, the Great Southern probably.
We were down that way, and we stayed in a little farmhouse, and we went and played chasings in the hay. And hay looks very soft and swishy, but when hay is cut to about knee height or calf height, it is very scratchy and ouchy. And
yes.
I wouldn't advise running through it. We came out with these awful scratches, and like I remember lying in bed all night, like, ah, my legs.
Yeah, that can be quite painful.
Yeah, that was a pretty quick lesson we learned. So yes, not a country girl myself either. But you mentioned before quickly, you know, the unique experiences of the Indigenous tours. And are there any other unique experiences, so kind of special to WA, or something that you think when you're there you really should just, you got to do this?
Well, I mean, I think it all often depends on budget, but I'll tell you one thing that I actually was chatting about with a friend today. A couple of friends have done this this year, in fact, and up in the Kimberley there's a very special place called the Horizontal Falls. So David Attenborough famously said it was like one of the world's greatest natural wonders. And you can only access it by seaplane, so you can already tell it's not a low-budget activity, but it's one of those really, really special places. So there's kind of I would recommend Googling a video of the Horizontal Falls, because I'm not going to do it justice by explaining it. But basically, you know, there's kind of a gap between some, you know, really rocky areas, kind of a gorge kind of gap, but in the sea. And the way the tide work, and I don't know exactly how it works, it's like a horizontal waterfall. And so you can go through there in a boat, and you sort of see, and it goes like the waterfall, quote unquote, goes one way until the tide changes and it goes back the other way. It's really rushing like a waterfall, and it's hard to explain. And there's this kind of waterfall part going into the sea. Very strange, very special. And you know, you fly in so you can see it from above, and then you can boat through it. And it's really, really unique. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, locals have started doing this year because they're not going overseas, and so they're like, oh wow, well this is this once in a lifetime thing. So that would be my other kind of hidden tip. I haven't done it, but I've seen enough and heard enough from friends that I know I want to.
There you go, adding a little bucket list on here. That's that's amazing. And I haven't done a seaplane, so I'm like, you know, I keep thinking.
No, me neither.
Oh, there you go. Well, if you're going to do that, you want to do it, because they do a little scenic seaplane flight. I'm like, I'm not going in a seaplane and just going up in the
air. Just to do it. Yeah, exactly. You want to do it to go somewhere really cool.
Yeah, so. Or, you know, you can have lunch somewhere or something, you know. It's a very pretty penny, and I'm like, I can get there by boat really easily.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
exactly. Yeah, you want to do it somewhere that's the only choice. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. There you go. Adding that to the seaplane in the Kimberleys to the Horizontal Falls. Done.
Yeah.
On the list. I love it. Well, it has been so wonderful to share. I love seeing your updates, and I mean, you've got hundreds of mentions on your podcast about Western Australia. So the Thoughtful Travel podcast must have a listen. But I believe you did have a fun fact for me too.
I do. Well, it's not for you, it's for Darius. Oh. But but I was just, you know, thinking, I know he likes his fun facts, and I found, well, I just did a bit of research because I was thinking about, you know, WA has this massive long coastline. Like I always say, I haven't even said our beaches are amazing. And the best part about WA beaches is that there's nearly always, it's always possible to find a beach with nobody else there because our coastline is so long. So this is the thing. Our coastline, I looked up, is 12,889 kilometres long, the WA coastline. And so I thought, oh, I have to find a fact that works for Darius. And so I thought, oh, how long are the Autobahns in Germany? Like, how many kilometres of Autobahns are there in Germany? And I'm really annoyed because the Autobahns beat our coast by only 107 kilometres. So it was like 12,996. So only basically 100 kilometres longer the Autobahns all across Germany is, you know, equivalent to the WA coast. So that is my fun fact, especially for Darius today. However, we also have, and I didn't know this until I was researching this fun fact, there's like 4,000 islands off the WA coast. So that belong to WA. Obviously some of them are tiny, but I had no idea we had that many. But if you added in their coastline, then we have way more coastline than you have Autobahns, Darius. But there you go.
Take that.
Yes, take that.
Well, thank you for that fun fact. And would you like to leave a German message again?
Oh, well, I hadn't thought about that, but I should, shouldn't I? Hallo, Darius. Und ich habe nichts Besonderes zu sagen, aber ich hoffe, dass es geht dir gut. Und irgendwann müssen wir zusammen reden, nicht nur mit Emma. Und ja, bis nächstes Mal. Tschüss.
Hey Amanda, hier ist Darius und vielen Dank für deine Nachricht. Nicht nur eine Nachricht, sondern auch ein paar wissenswerte Fakten. Lässt mein Herz total aufblühen. Ich habe dann auch noch ein wenig recherchiert. Und obwohl die Küste Westaustraliens super schön ist und sicherlich mit den ganzen Inseln auch eine sehr große Länge aufweist, die Autobahnen in Deutschland sind mehrspurig. Und wenn man alle Fahrstreifen zusammenzählen würde, dann ergibt sich eine Gesamtlänge von rund 59.000 Kilometer. Obwohl eure Fakten schöner sind, ist unsere Autobahn trotzdem länger. Ich würde mich jedenfalls freuen, mit dir mal aufzunehmen. Ich komme gerne zu dir in den Podcast oder du zu uns. Ja, sag Bescheid und bis bald.
Love, you just whipped
it. Unprepared, sorry.
No, it was perfect.
I hadn't thought about that. I should have thought about that. I apologize for my terrible grammar, but...
No, is there any German sort of things in WA, or is that, are you just, you're the German language?
Well, in the Swan Valley, which is like our wine region in Perth, like on the outskirts of Perth, there is a pretty good German pub, and there's a German restaurant, which I find a bit average, but a pretty good German pub. So there's a few German places. We have a fair few German immigrants here, so yeah. But we can get German here.
Yeah, you can get German. So there we go. The only reason we reference that is Darius, our co-host, is German. If you've listened to any other episodes, you would know that because it comes up a lot, and because Amanda speaks Sprechen Deutsch sehr gut, which is not good grammar, but she speaks very well.
Well, I don't know if I do, but I lived in German for a few years, so, and learnt German all through school. So yeah, that's where that comes from.
Yeah, sehr gut. Well, Duncan, thank you very much for being here. And we'll throw a few links to some of your WA episodes, specific episodes, and some of the links, you know, the places that you've talked about. We've mentioned many, 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 so probably a whole lot of WA tourism websites will get some hits. And if you get the chance, if you're in Australia and you know, you feel stuck, why not explore your own country and Western Australia if you've got the time, or make the time. And if you don't have a lot of time, even a week or so, you can still see a lot in
absolutely
picky spot. That's all. You can't flit about.
That's right.
Cheaply.
No, you can't cover all of Western Australia not even in a long holiday. It's, you know, there's so much. But yeah, pick a couple of spots that sound interesting. There's lots of amazing things to see.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
Lovely to chat. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. So please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts. Everywhere where you get podcasts, you will find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.